The opinions of Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman don't reflect the views of Gal Media. Parental discretion is advised. KFNC Mont Belvieu, Houston, a Gal Media station. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Today's Blitz Rewind starts now.
The fight itself was pretty damn competitive.
I wasn't sure they should have ended it when they did.
One thing that will empty the gas tank of a fighter is punching him in the balls repeatedly. Well, it looked like the fight was turning anyway. And I was like, well, yeah, punch somebody in the balls enough, the fight will turn. I don't know that the result would have been any different. All I know is that was a wildly competitive fight until the very last round. In fact, I had Kovalev up 4-3 on my card.
Yeah, I had it the other way around.
When that happened.
Yeah.
Is it more odd that Drew Pomeranz held you to one run or that you scored six or seven runs off the reigning AL Cy Young?
You get spoiled when you've got two pitchers at the top of your rotation that rarely lose games. Well, you don't have that right now, and they'll get it back at some point. You know, so I don't really think there's anything weird about it. They're just not winning games. You know, as high as people were getting at the winning streak, it seems like people are getting just as low now because they're not playing as well. It's like, well, that's, you got to ride the whole thing out.
Here's Fred, AJ, and the brewmaster himself, Eric.
And we are back on the Blitz. Hour number three. 713-780-ESPN is your number. 713-780-3776. You can also get us on Twitter at Fred Fowler, at AJ is the real, at Jon Snow, at Degenerates 975. You can also text the show at 713-780-3776. And you know you're a big star now because you're in the Big Voice guy mentioned you.
I heard that. Who is the Big Voice guy anyway? Who is that? Is that some like
some guy
synthesized voice, or is that a real dude?
What's his name, Jong?
His name is Jim Cutler, and he's a real he's a real guy.
Yeah, he is.
Doesn't
a real
his
guy.
Wife do it too?
Is yeah.
It?
Yeah, Dawn.
Yeah, she's the one that did all the stuff for ESPN for the World Series of Poker.
Yeah, and Jim does some stuff for ESPN too. He's the voice of ESPN Radio too.
I wonder what their kid's voice is going to be like. I think he's going to come out as an infant talking about Sunday, Sunday, Sunday. You can see it. What's going on, Mr. Warner?
You know, living the dream. Literally, Fred, today was one of those days at the brewery that it was just fun, special. We had a really cool event, Hop Delusion Cask Dry Hop Selection. So we had a bunch of retailers in, and we lay out 8 different hops for them to appraise. And then they do their own custom blend in their special cask, which they'll be tapping later in July. And we literally had some of our accounts from El Paso fly over for this thing. So that was cool.
Good times.
And, you know, I'm thinking I brought the wrong beer.
Why?
Well, you're talking about the rodeo clown in the water there for the shark race. I'm like, damn, I should have brought rodeo clown.
Oh, that's a good call, yeah. That but is a good call.
Got the goes instead.
This is nice.
It's got nice acidity, but it's not too salty.
What do you think, Jung?
Jung's throwing up.
It's good.
You hate it, huh?
No, that was his. That's his review.
I had Jung didn't like sour beers.
No. I have pear in my hand. Well, it was in my mouth. Now it's in my
so
hand.
Gross.
But no, I'm not a big fan of sours. But no, this is really good.
Okay. And Fred refused to try it.
And I'm going
to
shove this pear back in my mouth.
All right, go ahead.
Okay. Don't throw it up though, because then it's going to look like you're throwing up because of the alcohol, and that's going to look bad on the sponsor.
That's
here.
Right.
We don't want that.
We got a question during the last segment. I don't know if you heard it on the way over.
I must have just
pulled
up. I think
maybe you were coming up, yeah. Someone asked if Houston, with the amount of breweries we have here, would be considered the craft center of Texas at this point.
Dang, that is a really good question.
And I said, I think St. Arnold and Carbach are the two biggest outputters.
For sure.
But the Oscar Blues thing that just got built in Austin, and I think Jester King is kind of like in the craft community regarded as like the top brewer in Houston or in Texas as far as like nationally regarded stuff. So I said it's probably a toss up. I said, you know what? I'll just wait till Eric gets here and ask him. He probably knows better than me. So what says you?
I think Austin unfortunately still has us beat on greater Austin area on sheer number of breweries, but it can't be by much. Houston's gained a lot of ground, and I think Houston area is probably, you know, well over 40, if not 50 breweries. So it's getting close. But, you know, I think most of the breweries around here, produce really good beer. And Austin, you can have some hit or miss for sure. Some of the breweries over there, I've had some clunkers. Not going to name names, but... But yeah, sheer volume between us and St. Arnold's, absolutely. We're tops. Houston, H-Town is tops.
All right, that's why. So I guess it depends on what you mean by the craft center, of the state. But yeah, I do think Houston, it's come a long way too. Even since I moved here, it's come quite a way.
So unbelievable.
It's great growth, and there are. I think there's some clunkers here too. I think every scene is going to have some. And again, I won't name names either, but I do notice that a lot of people are improving. Like even some brewers that I didn't care for before have done some stuff lately that I'm like, that's not bad. Which reminds me to ask you: have you put any further thought into? I know a lot of people have been asking me about the Haze IPAs and when we're going to get better ones around Texas. Have you guys thought any more about doing one of those?
Well, so this Goza is part of our, what we call the KR&D series. And next up in that lineup is a New England style IPA.
So all right.
We're piloting that right now. And we will actually probably be tasting that later this week. I think we're looking at around AJ's birthday release, like late August, early September, something like that. So yeah, it's coming.
Okay.
And
you know, high hopes for it?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I mean, that's the beautiful thing. We're piloting this thing. We're trying to get our hands on some rare hops. I don't know if we're gonna like do the South African hops, but we're gonna try to find some rare ones that maybe some Galaxy from down under.
There you go.
And yeah, so it's going to be something different, both in terms of the appearance as well as the aroma and flavor, than anything Carbach's ever done.
And you mentioned that the barley wine is the barrel aged version of that is got to be getting close to done. And you said probably a couple more weeks. When's the bottle? When are those expected to be out?
I think
out
that's coming out the weekend after the 4th. So what's that, like the 11th or something that week?
Okay,
that's when that's going to start hitting the market.
And I think a couple times between, or maybe a couple things have happened since the last time you were on. We were talking about all the things that were close to being passed as laws, and it looks like all those have gotten done. What's the after effect of everything that's happened in the courts in the last few months?
You know, like a lot of these laws, I'm sure they will get challenged. But you know what really hacks me off is when governors don't put pen to paper. Either veto it or sign it. But Abbott just, because the legislator passed it, if the governor doesn't sign it in that situation, it becomes law. And so that tells me that, there's some research out there or information out there that he has taken a lot of money from the distributors. And yet I think deep down in his heart, it's kind of like, well, hey, I've got, 20,000 signatures or whatever it was that the craft brewers, led by the Craft Brewers Guild, had brought to the table, and I think that's probably why he decided, hey, I'm just going to not sign it, let it quietly become law. But yeah, AJ, it basically was what we talked about a couple weeks ago. It's going to limit the number of breweries we could do. We can still roll our beer across the alley for this scenario. We got grandfathered in. But it's just, it's a shame. But
this is something that big brewers and small brewers alike were vehemently against, correct?
Everybody was united. It was really a good thing to see the entire brewing industry come out against it. So that's what makes it sting a little bit more,
Because that's pretty rare that the big guys and the small guys are on the same side of the table on something. And this is definitely one of those situations where nobody wanted to see this happen except for the distributors who are making extra money off this deal. Does it strain relationships between brewers and distributors for this to even have happened?
I think a little bit, yeah, but I mean, we kind of we know the game, we know how it's played, and so we were fully also anticipating this, and it's but yeah, I think for the craft brewers, the really small guys, this could hurt because as they grow and they get to a certain level, it could impact revenue that they're losing out on over their tap room. So it, you know, stay tuned. Like I said, it's so dynamic. I mean, you look at what's going on with the Amazon thing and how that's going to has, you know, and will continue to impact retail, and alcohol beverage has no space there, right? So what's going to happen with, you know, millennial consumers and younger as online shopping becomes an even greater force,
right?
And what's, you know, it's a never-ending evolution of how these alcohol laws, you know, are related to fair commerce in the U.S. And so stay tuned. It's not done.
Well, what kind of fun stuff do you guys have coming up at the brewery in the next next couple of weeks?
So we got 8 spots left for the Father's Day beer dinner tomorrow night. So the idea was that, you know, good kids, was, you know, I don't know if your kid bought you one, Fred, but good kids would buy their dads a Carbach beer dinner slot for tomorrow night at the brewery. And it's mostly Fun Series beers, and we're going deep.
I saw that you guys are pouring like Bodacious
and 002, which was the good Fragile. We got your favorite, AJ, Kentucky Habit.
Yeah.
We're going to warm it up with this Goza, kind of a nice, you know, appetizer, palate cleanser. So there's still, DG told me there's still 8 slots left. They're going fast. So come on out tomorrow night. It's going to be a great
event.
And
what kind of grub?
I mean, we're going to have some Wagyu beef. We're going to have some seafood. I mean, it's going to be amazing.
Horrible.
Yeah, I'm already fasting.
And where can people get tickets for the event?
Yeah, go to our website, you know, carbachbrewing.com, or check us out on Facebook, and you'll be able to get tickets. We also have some fun stuff that's going to be happening 4th of July weekend. We'll talk about that a little bit more next weekend. We're about to move into our brand new warehouse building, cold storage. Right now we can hold about half a day's worth of inventory in our cooler. So this is going to allow us to expand that, have greater barrel storage so we can do more there. So very, very excited about all that for sure.
A lot of good stuff going on at the brewery. Well, we are looking forward to the next, well, I guess the time after next when we finally, we've been talking about this barrel-aged barley wine since the first time you came on with us when we started this thing. So it's finally going to happen. And once again, if you want you want tickets for that Father's Day dinner, which is 2 days after Father's Day, mind you, that's so it's tomorrow night. You can go to carbachbrewing.com. 8 spots left, and every one of those beers that is on the list, I saw that list, is awesome. It's the 006 Cherries is on there, right?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, some really good beers on there, so worthwhile going to check that out. Eric Warner, the brewmaster from Carbach Brewing, appreciate you, brother, and we'll talk to you next time.
Thanks, guys. Always a pleasure.
All right,
guys, I got to tell you about Houston Can Academies. And if you haven't donated your vehicle yet and you've got one, I don't know what you're waiting for, guys. A lot of blitzers have done it, and they've all said the same thing. It was fast, it was easy, it was rewarding, and I got a tax deduction on it. And the cool thing is Houston Can Academy takes in kids that have dropped out of other schools. They're going to give them a second chance. And a lot of these are good kids that and Houston Can Academies works around whatever their problem was. And school just got out, but guess what? They're going to have a bunch of new students coming in just a couple months, and now is your time to help them out. And they're going to come tow your vehicle free of charge. They're going to process all the paperwork. And as I mentioned, that donation's tax deductible. So if you've got a car, a truck, a motorcycle, boat, RV, tractor, really big lawnmower, anything, doesn't matter if it's running or not, they're going to come and tow it, and they're going to take care of it for you, and you're going to feel good about yourself, and you're going to help a kid, and you're going to get rid of something you're not using anymore. Doesn't matter what kind of shape it's in. And if you donate today, a $50 Visa gift card if you tell them you heard about it on the Blitz. Call the Houston Can Academies today, 713-225-4226. 713-225-4226, or go online to HoustonCarsForKids.com. Right off the car, not the kid.
You're listening to The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. Still talking beer on the break there, which I'm always a fan of.
Did you see what's going on with Carrie Fisher?
She's still dead, right?
Did you see how she died? Her autopsy report.
Stop breathing.
Autopsy report came out.
Yeah, I did see all that.
Cocaine, methadone, heroin, and ecstasy in her system when she died.
That's a grand slam there.
Boy, that's a lot. She died 4 days after going into cardiac arrest on an airplane. And I don't know. I'm not a doctor. I'm not a scientist.
You did stay at a Holiday Inn Express, though.
I did stay at the Luxor for the last four nights during EDC. And one thing I know is a proven heart attack inducer is mixing cocaine and heroin. I don't know a lot, but I know that that's a bad recipe.
Yeah.
Then you throw in ecstasy. I don't know how that's going to affect things. It's too much for me. The furthest I like to go mixing drugs is one drug plus alcohol. That's as good as I want to get.
I will mix weed and alcohol, but that's it.
Yeah.
Nothing else.
I'm all for drugs. I mean, if that's what you're into, you want to try some things out, go ahead. I recommend trying them one at a time. And just because cocaine's fun and heroin's fun doesn't mean they're fun together. All right? It can be too much. It can be too much.
Especially for an old lady.
Right.
She was an old lady.
She's an old lady. And she wasn't in the greatest of health to begin with. Rest in peace, Carrie Fisher, Princess Leia, but her autopsy report was out. And, of course, it's got her height and weight on it. She's 5'1", 171.
Ooh.
I mean, let's say 171's good if you're, I mean, if you're the right thickness. If you're like 5'8", 5'9", even, I'll take that. 5'1", 171? You got some work to do, girl.
Because I don't give a...
You're supposed to be the princess.
Well, and if you're that big...
That gold bikini, like, and doing around her elbow.
All those drugs? Yeah.
So, the good news is balding was absent, mustache was absent, teeth were present. So, that was good. That's what you hope Princess Leia looks like when she dies. So, that's the good news, is that she did have teeth and was not bald or mustached. And absent deformities.
When you say bald, do you mean, what do you mean exactly?
I'm not a doctor, nor am I a medical examiner. Okay. So I don't know what they're...
I'm just asking because...
I would assume it means like me.
Okay, but...
The best news is the genitalia are those of an adult... female. So
also a good thing.
Yep. She was still a lady.
Especially since Harrison Ford hit that. You know, you wouldn't want to find something there later because that would change the whole story, right?
Yep. And she had a tattoo of stars and planets on her ankle. So
if you're a tattoo artist, when somebody dies, can you cut off the skin and keep it? Shouldn't it be your right? You're the artist.
No, I think you sold that to them.
Yeah, okay, just checking. Stars and Sky guy might just want to put that on his wall.
I think you take a picture. A
little piece of Carrie Fisher's
flesh. Post it on your Instagram and say, hey, remember that time I tattooed Princess Leia? I think that's the way to do it.
Okay.
It's weird to have someone's skin on your wall.
Yeah.
And illegal, I think, in almost every state.
I'm sure it's perfectly legal. You just dry it out. You put it into you put it in a frame. And there you go.
I don't like that. I don't like that. And if you like it, that's weirding me out even more.
I'm not saying I like it. I'm just saying it makes sense.
Okay.
I mean, I don't.
Things that make sense to you don't make sense to me.
That's fine.
Was she a great big fat person? that's what you sound like right now. Like you want to make a lampshade out of her
not
star,
a lampshade.
Her stars and moon tattoo.
Just like a little frame that you put on the wall.
I told you, she's 5'1", 170. This isn't small.
A really small frame.
Like, the planets were to scale on her leg. That's
wow.
An unbelievable part of the story.
Yeah, how do you... Well, I don't know how you get to that age and get that big and then do a bunch of heroin and stuff and not lose weight. Right? With all that coke and heroin, she should have been losing weight.
Yeah.
Theoretically.
Yep.
So I wonder what
cocaine's a hell of a drug.
I wonder what she was at before she got into the binge. I'm gonna guess about 190.
That's my guess.
Yeah, that is not good. All right, 713-780-ESPN, your number, 713-780-3776. Let's squeeze in a quick phone call from John. You are on the Blitz. Go, sir.
Johnny boy.
Hey, sports guys.
Sports, John.
Hey, if you're Daryl Morey, all right, which one would you rather get? Paul George or Chris Paul? And if you would, who would y'all give up for that player?
I mean, well, Chris Paul's a free agent, so they don't have to give up anything if they wanted to get Chris Paul. I think I'd rather have Paul George than Chris Paul at this point, mostly because I don't know if you want to take the ball out of James Harden's hands most of the time, and if you have Chris Paul, that's what you're getting him for, to run the offense through him.
Right.
But I don't know what the Rockets have that teams would go, yeah, I'd give up Paul George for that. Like, okay, Trevor Ariza. I mean,
I think he'd have to be part of that deal because
the Rockets don't have trade assets anymore. Free agency is the way to go for the Rockets. That's why Chris Paul's interesting to them, because what they've got to give up is money, and they've got that. What they don't have are movable players that anyone else would be interested in.
And Paul George, the reason he's doing it the way he's doing it is so he can pick where he wants to go. I have heard no indication that he'd want to come to Houston.
Yeah.
His interest is in the Lakers or the Cavs. And that makes perfect sense if you're a player like that. So.
I got some semi-breaking news. Adrian Wojnarowski tweeted out, sources as David Griffin departs as Cavs. Quote, just couldn't agree on future. Sources say Chauncey Billups expected to emerge as a candidate.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. Chauncey Billups? Really?
I don't know. I don't know where that's coming from. I don't know. That was the kind of gig he's looking for.
Apparently it is. I guess.
Well, whatever works for you, I guess. I mean, go for it.
Yeah. That's kind of an interesting...
I got a weird tweet, or I guess we got a weird tweet when Eric was on from D. Says Eric sounds like he smoked a bowl or two in his lifetime. Do you believe that? I mean, that's I don't think he would ever do that. Honestly, he seems straight as an arrow.
I never speculate on anyone unless I've smoked with him.
Yeah.
So that hasn't happened.
And I know Eric. Eric's from Colorado.
Yeah, those people in Colorado,
they don't
come
do
on.
That kind of stuff. No. Straight laced people up there. I don't think he's into that hippity dippity stuff at all.
God, no. It's too upstanding.
He spent most of his life in Colorado and Europe.
Yeah.
I bet he really hates pot, yeah. Honestly.
I bet he can't stand the smell when he walks out and says, people, come on.
Yeah.
Don't be doing this. All right.
I'm not one, you know, I don't judge people on how they sound, but I didn't get that vibe from him. Now, Jong sounds like a pothead.
He does. But nothing, Jong?
He doesn't want to make that sound. Like, now he's paranoid. Cops are listening.
Oh, all they're going to do is take our weed and put our name on a list and make us take a class. It's okay. Quick break. It's the Blitz on ESPN 975.
From the RentersWarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and A.J. Hoffman.
And we are back on The Blitz. 713-780-ESPN is your number. So, Justin Van Zandt wants to do a cover of the Gym of the Day song.
I'll allow it.
He's high enough on the totem pole that if he wants to do it, that would be awesome.
I'll allow it.
I think if just random guy wanted to do it,
No.
I mean, a random guy probably can't do it right.
No, but Justin would do it right. So, yes, Justin, we would play it. Not every day, of course, because we can't replace it.
Yeah, I'm still the star here, Justin.
Yeah, but you could definitely get in the rotation.
Yeah, we could work you in.
So you want to do sportsy or non-sportsy here? Because I've got kind of a sportsy thing, but it can wait. I mean, it's college football, so
yeah,
you can certainly wait. But I've got, you know.
We can do sports here. I mean, we're doing we got the dumbass report next. We just did a segment on Carrie Fisher. I think we can afford some sports.
I found this fascinating because of the type of offenses these guys run. But CoachingSearch.com did the top 20 red zone play callers in college football over the last 4 years based on percentages of touchdowns. And what you'll find interesting is when you hear the names of these teams, I guess it makes sense that triple option would be the most effective red zone offense.
I would suppose that's true.
Because Irvin Jasper of Navy is number one on the list with a 74.9% red zone touchdown percentage over the last 4 years.
And now, and remember also, those guys, schools like that you run that, they often go for it on fourth down.
Right.
So they're so not only will their percentages be up when you're talking touchdowns only. I'm guessing if you had field goal conversions allowed in there too, they'd probably be a little bit lower.
Yeah, this is red zone touchdown percentage since 2013. Paul Johnson of Georgia Tech, second on the list, 72%.
Okay.
Interesting one here because it doesn't fit with the other types of offenses. Jimbo Fisher, Florida State, 69.4%.
All right.
Brent Davis, Army, 69.4%. Also an option offense. As is New Mexico, 69.1%. Here's another one. This will make LSU fan happy. Matt Canada, with a year at Pitt and three at NC State, 68.1%. Now, the rest of these start, it's either almost all air raid or a few more options. Jeff Brohm at Western Kentucky, 68.1%. Lincoln Riley, 2 years at East Carolina, 2 years at Oklahoma, 67.5%. Mike Thiessen at Air Force, 67.5%. Bill Legg at Marshall, 67.4%. I'm not sure what kind of offense Marshall runs these days. Mike Bobo, 2 years at Colorado State, two at Georgia, 67.2%. Paul Christ, 67.1%. Dana Dimmel, Kansas State, 67%. Would have never thought he'd.
I would have never thought that either.
Yeah. Jay Johnson, Minnesota, and UL Lafayette, 66.3%. Mike Leach, 66%. Scott Frost, 1 year at UCF and three at Oregon, 65.3%. Mike Yurchich of Oklahoma State, 64.7%. Dave Warner, Michigan State, 64.5%. Dan Mullen, 64.5%. And Cliff Kingsbury.
But what?
64.3% at Texas Tech.
That's surprising.
But when you look at the names, it's almost all option guys or air raid guys that score the most touchdowns in the red zone, which is interesting, which is what makes Florida State, because they're neither.
A pro-style offense, but they've also had they've had some of the best running backs in the country, which that helps in the red zone about as much as anything. So, yeah, they're different, but I wouldn't say that it's surprising that they're in there.
Right. But, I don't know. I think the other one that kind of jumps out at me is because LSU went out and got him is Matt Canada. And I think he's, you know, if he can get that offense up to speed, that could be a very interesting team. But we shall see. I still don't know if they got it right with head coach, but
we'll find out.
But if he's just going to be a guy who recruits and just oversees things and lets his coordinators do the dirty work,
you ain't in bad shape.
That might work. It might work. All right, so there you go. That was sportsy.
It's very enough sports for the day.
Yeah, kind of. It's kind of. Well, I always talk about the two things in coaching that, to me, point to whether or not you're good at what you do: red zone offense and third down defense. You know, defense, if you get off the field on third down, usually that's because coaches are making good calls that put their guys in the right position and you're stopping an offense. And same thing with red zone offense. So if your team struggles in those two things, you're probably not very well coached. It's just a theory I have.
All right.
Doesn't make it the right theory, but it's a theory. 713-780. ESPN's your number, 713-780-3776. If you want to get in, be happy to take some phone calls. Before we get to the last segment. Last segment's already coming up.
That's it.
Jeez. It's going by fast.
pretty wild.
Kind of thought it would drag a little bit today because, you know, come back from Vegas, usually there's, you know, not an actual hangover, but just sort of a, you know, sort of a figurative one. You're kind of like, all right, man, all weekend we were pretty busy.
No, we've been all right.
Yeah, kind of been fired up. I you did see the ruling on the slants and how that applies to your Washington Redskins, right?
No.
You didn't see that? The Supreme Court ruled that the rock band The Slants can keep its name. That was the big Supreme Court thing. But in an 8-0 ruling, the court ruled in favor of The Slants. 8-0, you don't see that very often. But they had been denied trademark protection on the grounds that their name constituted disparaging speech.
I understand slant is a racial slur, but it also has a secondary meaning, right?
Well, like when you run a slant pattern, is that what?
Well, I mean, there's a lot like the slant, like or a slant is like another word for like the grade of something, right?
Yeah,
like a rooftop has a certain slant.
Yeah, like the Luxor has that pyramid. It's got a slant. I like it.
Okay.
Well, but they basically...
Jung, are you offended by the slants?
No.
Okay, then it's good.
Well, I mean, it's an Asian band.
Then it's really good.
Yeah.
Now, if the Redskins could only have Native American players, I feel like they would be in probably worse football shape, but better shape, like from a court standpoint.
Well, the Redskins have lost some of their trademark protection because of this, so that's still in court, but I think with this ruling that now helps them in terms of whether or not they'll have to change their name at some point. So if you're a fan of Redskins, you're fine.
Okay,
they're not going anywhere,
thank goodness,
because all because of the slants.
I've got some stories I think is going to make you happy.
Yeah,
in the next segment. So
in the dumbass report.
Yeah, some good stuff going. There is. I'll give you this. There's a casino story I thought we should get to.
Yeah.
Katrina Bookman played a Sphinx slot machine at a Resort World's casino in Queens, New York. It appeared she had won $43 million.
Holy bleep!
Which would have been the largest jackpot ever won on the slots in U.S. history. She snapped a selfie with the screen, but when Bookman came to collect her prize, a casino worker told her she hadn't actually won anything, and they offered her a steak dinner, complimentary, and $2.25. Bookman's lawyer said she did not accept the dinner or the $2.25. At the time, Resorts World spokesman Dan Bank apologized and told CNN, and this was last year, told CNN that casino personnel were unable to determine that the figure displayed on the penny slot was a result of an obvious malfunction, a fact later confirmed by the New York State Gaming Commission. The Gaming Commission also said in August that the machine displayed a disclaimer stating malfunctions void all pays and plays. So her lawyer has filed a lawsuit. And he says, you can't claim a machine is broken because you want it to be broken. Does that mean it wasn't inspected? Does it mean it wasn't maintained? And if so, does that mean that people that played there before had zero chance of winning? Ripka also said he's asked Resorts World Casino to explain how the machine malfunctioned, but they did not offer him anything. The company alleges that Resort World Casino was negligent and did not adequately maintain their equipment. It also posted Bookman suffered mental anguish as a result of the incident, and she sustained a significant monetary setback because she lost the chance and or opportunity to win on the machine. He's looking for $43 million. You guessed it.
Good luck.
So I doubt he'll get that. My guess is they get something, though. The Chicago Tribune reported on a different case. That was similar to a similar situation at an Iowa casino. The court ruled in favor of the Isle Casino Hotel when a penny slot machine indicated that a 90-year-old woman won $41 million. The court ruled that the game's rules capped jackpots at $10,000 and didn't allow bonuses. But this machine didn't say anything like that. So we'll see. I'm guessing she gets something more than $2.25, though.
And a dinner.
And a steak, a complimentary steak dinner.
Hey, I got to give something away real quick. Win two tickets to see the return of the Mexico national team to Houston. Mexico will face Ghana at NRG Stadium Wednesday, June 28th. Don't miss your chance to watch Mexico in this crucial match leading into this summer's Gold Cup. Tickets are still available. Log on to Ticketmaster.com and get yours today, starting at just $30. Mexico versus Ghana. See you there. Caller 15.
You're going?
I am out of town.
Oh, then why'd you say see you there?
Well, because it says see you there at the bottom of this.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
I thought you were saying
not I will see you there, but we, the generic ESPN 97.5 gotcha. Gal Media family, will see you there.
All right, guys, I'm going to tell you about Dirt Free Carpet Cleaning. A lot of the other guys, their machines are leaving behind soap, allergens, too much water, and it's just it's making a mess of your floors. Your floors end up dirtier than they were when you got them before you got them cleaned. Not the case with Dirt Free. Hedge yourself and protect against allergens by getting your carpets, your tile floors, your upholstery cleaned by Dirt-Free Carpet. Give them a call, 281-DIRT-FREE. Go chemical-free with Dirt-Free. And right now, they'll clean one room free with any purchase. Your carpets are going to be fresh, deep clean, without soap, and without unhealthy dirt-attracting chemicals. They've been doing this for over 30 years, cleaning upholstery, floors, oriental rugs, even your air ducts, and they do it all with the best technology in the game. Give them a call right now, 281-DIRT-FREE. Tell them you heard it here on ESPN 97.5. And you'll get that free carpet clean in one room with any purchase, plus a free speed dry just for calling now. It's 281-DIRT-FREE, 281-347-8373 for Dirt-Free Carpet.
This is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. From the renterswarehouse.com studios in Houston, Texas, this is The Blitz on ESPN 97.5. Here's Fred Fowler and AJ Hoffman.
And we're back on The Blitz. Download the ESPN 97.5 app, available for your iOS or Android device. Stream all your favorite shows live on the go or listen to them at your convenience with our on-demand podcast. Just search ESPN 97.5 in your app store. Download today. Don't have an iPhone or an Android? You can stream us on any smart device at the all-new ESPN975.com. Steven said, couldn't get a good signal to call in. Guess I'm not gonna win tickets.
No.
We're going to give away more. Besides, you want to go to see Mexico anyway. That's the big draw. All right, let's do the dumbass report.
All right, let's start with where should we start? Let's start with a story about a toddler.
A dumbass toddler?
No, a dumbass mom.
Oh, okay.
A Florida toddler found a loaded pistol in his toy box while officials were investigating his home for possible child neglect. The 3-year-old boy wanted to bring out his toys while officers were in the home. His toy box had several small books in it. But while officers were talking to an adult in the house, the toddler pulled out a black 9mm semi-automatic. An officer immediately took the gun and found a bullet in the chamber with the safety off. Rosalind Faniel, who the officers came to investigate for possible child neglect, said the gun wasn't hers and she didn't know it was in the apartment. That seems neglectful. While searching the home, the officers also found a yellow box of 9mm ammunition on top of the fridge. Next to a black scale and a pink makeup bag filled with 6 plastic bags of white and pink powder. The powder tested positive for oxycodone and weighed 0.6 grams total. So,
she was a young drug dealer.
Yep. She was arrested on a charge of child neglect and her bond was set. Also charged with failure to appear in court and violating release conditions. So, not wise.
Not wise.
That's one badass toddler, though.
It is pretty badass.
He will pop a cap in you.
Yeah. A Modesto, California Walgreens was briefly evacuated Saturday morning after a man set his underwear on fire in the bathroom. The man, 45-year-old Andrew Cheadle.
In relation to Don Cheadle?
I think it's Don's brother.
Okay.
Was caught and arrested on 2 felony warrants out of Sacramento, but not charged with arson due to the reason he lit his pants on fire.
I'm a fire!
Police Sergeant Steve Hinckley said that the man had had an accident and was trying to get his underwear off, but couldn't.
I'm a fire.
So let's just pretend for a second you're in a...
I'm trying to visualize
you
this.
You poop your pants.
I don't really want to visualize this, but I'm trying to.
Maybe it's not for you. Jong, put yourself in these shoes. You've pooped your pants, and you can't get your underwear off.
The most logical thing would be to light them on fire.
That's right. That's what any smart guy would do, so they didn't charge him for it.
I'm a fire.
He threw the burning underwear into the toilet, which quickly extinguished the fire, but smoke filled the bathrooms, prompting an evacuation of the store. He left the store, admitted to several employees that he started the fire, then headed south on Carver and said the fire department, and he was found at his home. I'm guessing slightly humiliated.
New underwear?
I don't know. I'm not sure. And finally, Tishomingo High School is looking for two new basketball coaches after the district fired last season's coaches for using a school bus to make a beer run. It happened while the coaches were out of town with the team at a basketball camp. A store clerk told officials at Connor State the coaches drove the school bus to the nearby convenience store to buy beer. College does not allow alcohol on campus. The real story here is what kind of snitch at that store is selling out these guys who are going to buy their product.
How else are you going to get beer?
I guess Uber.
You know, these are coaches. They're not making that much money. You take the bus. There's nothing wrong with that. Take the damn bus. It should be legal.
All right.
It's a beer run.
Well, we don't make the laws here, Fred.
Apparently not. We should. World would be a much better place if we made the laws.
All right.
So you just had to play this, didn't you? He looked for any excuse to play this damn song.
Yes.
All right. That's going to wrap it up for Monday. Not a bad effort today. Across the board. We have Zhongli an A+, Hoffman an A+, myself a serious C-. Damn good effort today.
Sit and wait until the poop plops down.
And because I don't want to listen to any more of this song, I'm just going to leave now and say stay sports, you bitches.
And wipe till brown leaves down. I put it in the potty and flush it down.
ESPN 97.5.